Okay, so he just missed everything I just said. So I said that here we are at the final chapter of Ezekiel, chapter 48. And it's more or less a review of everything we've read about when it comes to this particular area, the middle Israel, during the Millennium Kingdom. So I called it the Millennium Kingdom Review, except for some new information, a few little tidbits here and there that I'll point out. It's more or less what things we've already talked about in the prior chapters. So we can still review, kind of read through it, and I think we can do the whole chapter this morning. And so we'll see how it goes. And so I get off on a tangent. I think it, even though it's got about 35 verses, but it's pretty much only just reading the verses and kind of commenting on a few. So let's start with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for this time that we've been studying your word and studying Ezekiel here and the vision of the kingdom and all of Ezekiel's visions. We've learned so much, Lord, and I praise you and thank you so much for this study. And I'm sure there's still much more to learn. And so we continue to look to you, Lord, that you help us to see what's important for this time, how we can use it in our lives today. And that we give you all the praise and thanks. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, so as a backdrop, I'm going to probably start off with this map again, as we've been using. We've got a different pointer. I think this one might be easier to see. I changed colors. Probably the main thing I want to point out is that there's two particular rules of thumb when it comes to this area here called the Holy Oblation. And it has to do with the terminology in a verse prior to this, talking about the size. And we're going to see it again in this review, and I'll mention it when we get there. But that the size of this, some want to believe it's only 8 miles across, and I think it's 8 by 8 miles across and down. That is according to what I feel is incorrect, because it has to do with whether it's cubits or reeds. And since the reed is used in the beginning of Ezekiel and as a measurement tool, when Ezekiel is getting shown this by the man that is showing him this kingdom, he even comments that it's a reed, and so that a reed it should be a reed all the way through. But some want to try to squeeze it, I think, into a smaller area. And to be fair to the naysayers, this is what they see as being what's described in Ezekiel. And I can see where they see this, but the problem with this is this area right here. This is that same area I was just showing you on the other one. And this is if it was 8 miles by 8 miles. Realize that from the Dead Sea right here to the Mediterranean Sea, that's only 50 miles. So you can see that to fit it in there, if it was 50 miles square, would be impossible. So it would have to encompass going over the Jordan River and be larger. And that's the picture I showed you here. There's a blow up of that particular picture. And it basically from here to here is 50 miles, and from here to here is 50 miles. And so that you can see that to fit it in to where the Mediterranean could fit, there's no way that it would get in there before you got to the Dead Sea. And if you remember that verse I talked about yesterday about the sea, and then I believe the sea they're talking about is actually way to the east. I showed you one possibility. The other one is that they could actually be talking about the Baltic Sea, which is a long ways away. But either way, it does go over this sea, so that it makes it difficult to try to squeeze it in there, particularly with this temple. The temple itself, right here, is 1 mile square. So if this is only 8 miles across, then 1 mile square would be quite large. It'd be something like this, probably. And then you get the city, and the city is even larger. I think it's, we'll get to it here. And I forgot to write the measurements down, but maybe we can figure it out. The measurement of the city itself, of Jerusalem. And there's some other verses we've talked about in the past that that Jerusalem couldn't fit. I mean, the temple couldn't fit on the Temple Mount as it is now because there ain't enough room for it. So that's why, based on Zechariah, some verses there and some other verses in the Bible, this is the configuration that makes the most sense that we've talked about when it comes to the temple being up here, the river leaving the temple, coming straight down here, coming down to Jerusalem, where it flanges off to go to the west, to the Mediterranean, and it goes to the east to the Dead Sea. So this is really the only depiction I think makes sense based on the scripture. But again, this is all future, so we'll have to see. So let's get some scriptures in here. And starting at Ezekiel 48:1. Now these are the names of the, oh, maybe I'm gonna need the bigger version. Let me get the bigger version. Now these are the names of the tribes from the north end to the coast of the way of Hethlon, as one goeth to Hamath, Hazrain, the border of Damascus northward to the coast of Hamath. But these are his sides, east and west, a portion for Dan. Now, I'll just bring back that same map I was talking about before. This is what they were talking about. And again, the problem with this is the size of this area that's set aside for the temple and for the city of Jerusalem, for the priests and the Levites. But if you take that verse and actually stop at these cities they're talking about, then Dan would be up here looking like this. The question mark comes, again, that verse I mentioned yesterday about the east, the sea to the east, and also that it says eastward from some of these cities. It doesn't really say a border over here. And my feeling is that this is a better chart of what we're looking at. I kind of colored it in. This is the plain version. I don't know which one's easier to tell, but I colored this in to try to make it easier to see, but basically Dan, Asher, and you can see here's the actual Jordan River, and that area, if it's 50 miles, would be right about here. And then it talks about the prince, area for the prince. And I have a feeling that they didn't really define how far the east is completely, because there was nothing to identify it really, except for the fact that the, as we talked about before, the, what do you call it? Euphrates River. But between this area and the Euphrates is pretty much open desert right now. And so that's a little bit of a problem, because there's no cities or anything out there to identify with. So it may not go all the way to the Euphrates. But we know that based on what God gave to Abraham, that whole area was allocated for. And so based on the fact that this is the Millennium Kingdom, and we're going to go back to a more Eden-type situation, I have a feeling that that desert's not even going to be there. It's going to be all lush green land. There's going to be rivers running all through here. In Genesis, they talk about, where the Euphrates is. There used to be four rivers that had a headwaters that ran and watered the Garden of Eden. Those four rivers, well, there's only two there now. So where are the other two? Maybe they were the ones that watered the whole desert, and that this whole area might be very lush and green by the time we get there in the Millennium Kingdom. So some of this is speculation, but some of it is hard facts too when it comes to the actual areas that are listed in the Bible. So back to the... So I'm going to go back to this picture, because this is the one that we're going to be talking about mostly here at first. And I have a feeling that these may not go as far as the Euphrates River, particularly if it gets flooded. It could be flooded out to about here. No, it could be flooded out to about here. But it could be an indication when it says eastward that basically it's saying that we don't know where the edge is, because there's nothing out here. There's no towns out here or anything to identify how wide it is. So you see as I read that through these, and it might catch on a little bit to what it's saying. Now, these are the names of the tribes from the north and to the coast of the way of the Heshlon, as one goeth to Hamath, Hazarim, the border of Damascus, northward to the coast of Hamath, for these are his sides, east and west, a portion for Dan. And so we got Dan up the top here. Reference verse for this is over in Ezekiel 47:15. And this shall be the border of the land toward the north side, from the great sea, the way of Heshlon, as men go to Zedad. That's just another confirmation verse. Back to 48. And by the border of Dan, from the east side unto the west side, a portion for Asher. And by the border of Asher, from the east side unto the west side, a portion for Naphtali. I think you can see those on the map. And by the border of Naphtali, from the east side unto the west side, a portion for Manasseh. You know, it's Manasseh and Ephraim. Those are the two sons of Joseph. So they got a portion there. We read that verse yesterday that talked about the fact that God had determined that the two sons who were originally adopted by Abraham became sons of by adoption to Abraham, thus replacing Joseph, not replacing him, but in addition to Joseph, they get a portion. But you'll notice Joseph is not on this list. And by the border of Manasseh, from the east side unto the west side, a portion for Ephraim. And by the border of Ephraim, from the east side, even unto the west side, a portion for Reuben. And by the border of Reuben, from the east side unto the west side, a portion for Judea. And by the border of Judea, from the east side unto the west side, shall be the offering which he shall offer of 5,000 and 20,000 reeds. And here it actually says reeds, but in the original transcript, it doesn't say reeds, but the King James Version adopted it based on those other verses I mentioned. I feel that this is reeds, and that's where we get the 50 miles across rather than the 8 miles. And I'll bring that picture back somewhere in that section. And so when it's talking about 25,000 here, reeds, that would be the width, basically from here to here. Shall be an offering which ye shall offer of 5,000 and 20,000 reeds in breadth, and the length as one of the other parts, from the east side unto the west side, and the sanctuary shall be in the midst of it. So there's the sanctuary, it's in the midst of it. Another word for temple. Here's another couple of verses to confirm this over in Ezekiel 45:3-4. And of this measure shalt thou measure the length of 5,000 and 20,000 and the breadth of 10,000, and it shall be the sanctuary and the most holy place. And the holy portion of the land shall be for the priests, the ministers of the sanctuary, which shall come near to minister unto the Lord, and shall be a place for their houses and a holy place for their sanctuary. So let me get this out of the way for a second. And so this basically area here is for the priests who will be ministering to the Lord at the temple, and that they'll have homes here. It actually mentions in one place there'll be about 30 cities in this area that will house all the different temple priests that will be servicing the Lord. There'll probably be some kind of rotation. And also in Isaiah 12:6, cry out and shout, thou inhabitants of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. So again, another verse to confirm that where the location is going to be, talking about Shiloh. Okay, back to Ezekiel 48:9. The oblation that ye shall offer unto the Lord shall be of 5,000 and 20,000 in length and 10,000 in breadth. And for them, even for the priests, shall be this holy oblation toward the north, 5,000 and 20,000 in length, and toward the west, 10,000 in breadth, and toward the east, 10,000 in breadth, and toward the south, 25,000 in length. And the sanctuary of the Lord shall be in the midst thereof. Did I repeat verses? Maybe I did. Verse 11. And it shall be for the priests that are sanctified of the sons of Zadok, which have kept my charge, which went not astray when the children of Israel went astray, as the Levites went astray. So realize that the inhabitants of the priests are from this certain tribe of Zadok. We talked quite in length about Zadok going back to all the way back to the original temple. It's quite a honor that Zadok was the priest during, which king was it? Hezekiah? Or one of the good kings, anyways. Yeah, over in Ezekiel 40, 46. And the chamber whose prospect is toward the north is for the priests, the keepers of the charge of the altar. These are the sons of Zadok among the sons of Levi, which come near to the Lord to minister unto him. So this particular order of the Zadok is of the Levite. All of a sudden I forgot the name of them, tribes. But it's a particular sons of Zadok that they kept themselves pure during the time of the captivity, when they were going into the captivity, and did not profane the temple. So we can see that Jesus is giving them a special honor here because they maintain their loyalty during tough times. So it's like a little special inheritance. Probably a little bit like, you know, how we're going to be getting, even though we're all saved, there's going to be some of us that are going to get little gifts for our diligent work in certain areas, you know, the crowns. Kind of the same idea, only for the Jewish people of the Levites. Also over in Ezekiel 44:15, but the priests, the Levites, and the sons of Zadok that keep the charge of my sanctuary, when the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall keep near to me to minister unto me, and they shall stand before me to offer unto me the fat and the blood, saith the Lord God. So there's a verse that confirms that these particular children of Zadok get that honor. Also, but talking about the Levites over in 44:10, and the Levites that are gone away from me when Israel went astray, which went astray away from me after their idols, they shall even bear their iniquity. So they're going to be allowed to be in this area, and they're serving the Lord, but they're not going to be directly servicing directly to the Lord himself. They'll be taking care of the temple area, and they'll be doing the sacrifices and things of that nature. So a little bit less of a prestigious position. It's what the verse is saying. That's basically what it's saying. Okay, back to Ezekiel 48, verse 12. And this oblation of the land that is offered shall be unto them a thing most holy by the border of the Levites. And talking about most holy, over in Ezekiel 45:4, the holy portion of the land shall be for the priests, the ministers of the sanctuary, which shall come near to minister unto the Lord, and shall be a place for their houses and a holy place for their sanctuary. So again, talking about the holy place here, and this will be a place for the their homes. I think it's a little reminder, just to tell you these dots you see here. Those dots are trees. There's a highway that runs here. And alongside here is that river. And if you remember from our prior studies, that river has got the trees growing alongside of it that have the healing of the nations. Oh, over here. Okay, back to Ezekiel 48, verse 13. And over against the border of the priests, the Levites shall have 25,000 in length and 10,000 in breadth. And all the length shall be 25,000 and the breadth 25,000. Basically what they're saying is each one of these sections is 10,000. And this is another 10,000. And this one here is 5,000 in height. And then the breadth ends up being 25,000 wide and 25,000 high. Reeds, which comes out to 50 miles by 50 miles. As I pointed out already, to this day, from the edge of the Dead Sea to the Atlantic, to the Mediterranean Sea is almost exactly 50 miles. So you can see that it'd be almost impossible to fit this in between the Dead Sea and the Mediterranean. That's the biggest part of the reason that, and that's why I think they try to, there's two reasons I feel they try to reduce it down in size to 8 miles, is it it's so they can place it, the whole thing in Jerusalem with the temple in the middle. Because they know that if they go with the dimensions being talked about here, that the temple, the Jerusalem is too big for where it is now. But we've got to keep in mind too that this is the Millennial Kingdom, and prior to this, a lot is going to happen. It talks about a really big earthquake. Remember the Mount of Olives, which is basically over here, is going to be split in two, thus allowing this river to flow. And it's going to be mountains that are going to be flattened. So this whole area is going to change geography by the time this time frame comes, so that could be a look a lot different than it does now. Okay, Ezekiel 48:15. And the 5,000 that are left in the breadth over against the 5 and 20,000 shall be a profane place for the city, for dwelling, and for the suburbs, and the city shall be in the midst thereof. So here they're talking about the city now. And the profane place is the area. It's kind of a weird word. Profane place is over here and over here, but it doesn't really mean what it sounds. It's actually for growing crops and stuff. It's the area that's going to be supporting the city and the Israel. So it's going to be like farmland. I don't know why they say the profane place. I didn't really research it deeply. Verse 16, and these shall be the measures thereof: the north side 4,500, and the south side 4,500, and the east side 4,500, and the west side 4,500. And if you took that by reeds, where's my little cheat sheet here? A reed is 10 feet 8 inches. So real quick, 4,500. I should have done this earlier. Calculator, where are you? I know you're here somewhere. There you are. So 4,500 times 10, say about 10.8 feet equals 48,600 feet. We'll divide that by 5,280 feet, which is a mile. That gives us 9 miles. Now you can see the problem is, now that sounds like a pretty 9 miles square is the size of the city. Well, you can see that if the whole thing is 8 miles, that wouldn't fit. This is the kind of stuff that causes problems with the whole idea of trying to shrink this down. So that basically this is 9 miles square. Verse 17, and the suburbs of the city shall be toward the north 250, and toward the south 250, and towards the east 250, and toward the west 250. And that's an area that's around the city that's going to be dwelling places for the suburbs of the city. And again, that's again to reeds, and so that would be 2,500 feet, about a half a mile. And the residual in length over against the oblation of the holy portion shall be 10,000 eastward and 10,000 westward, and it shall be over against the oblation of the holy portion, and the increase thereof shall be for food unto them that serve the city. So again, that's talking about these areas here, and it's 10,000 wide by the 25,000 wide and 10,000 deep. Verse 19, and they that serve the city shall serve it out of all the tribes of Israel. So the tribes of Israel are also going to be serving to help out each other in a friendly way that probably be very similar to nowadays, you know, where there'll be different job titles for different people that support the entire community. I was watching a video today that last night. It was really neat video. It was by a pastor that I really enjoy, and he was talking about this period of time, and I couldn't help it. He showed this video of what it's going to be like a little bit, because it talks about in a lot of places about the lion would be laying down with the lamb, and with the wolf, and the children would be able to play with snakes, and it's going to be just a very peaceful existence. And he had these videos of actual animals today that nature would usually not allow them to get along with each other. And I don't know if some of you might be old enough to remember, I'm trying to think of the name of the lion. It was back in the 70s. This couple had taken in a lion cub and raised her. And it got too big for their living area. And so they introduced it back into the wild. There's a big, long movie about it. I think it was like, I wish I could remember the name of the movie. Anyone my age would remember it. It was very famous. And they went back like, it was like 5 or 10 years later that the lioness had now had a pride. It was actually the lioness remembered them, and they had a reunion where the lioness did not kill them, and they actually hugged them, and he was showing this video from the movie, it was a very, but they had some other videos too of different animals that didn't actually usually live together. There were, some that actually, there was one other one where a lion had become friends with different people, and they showed videos of bears that were friends with humans and like best buddies, and that they wouldn't hurt a fly. And so that at the end of the video, he was basically saying that God has just given us a taste of what it's going to be like in the Millennium Kingdom, where basically all the animals are going to be our friends too. We're going to be able to walk up to a lion and maybe they'll even talk. I don't know. We'll have to see. But it's going to be a beautiful world that talking about that there's verses that talk about that we can only see a limited number of colors and hear a certain number of, what if you could hear color? Or what if you could see music? And all kinds of things that might really imagine, really get us way beyond what our senses can sense now. It's just going to be a really amazing world. One that can't be described, as Paul said. He got a little view of it, and he said he couldn't describe it with words. So verse 21, get my verses back here. And the residual shall be for the prince. On the one side, on the other, and on the other of the holy oblation and of the possession of the city, over against the 25,000 of the oblation toward the east border, and the westward over against the 25,000 toward the west border, over against that the portion for the prince. It shall be for the holy oblation, and the sanctuary of the house shall be in the midst thereof. So what you're talking about here is this whole area here. Let me go back to the other map. So basically it'd be this area here, and then on this side here that goes, and we don't know how far west it goes. I mean, east. It just says it goes to the east. So I think based on the original promise by God to Abraham, it goes all the way to the river. And at that point in time, it might be actually a sea. So we'll leave that one up for now. And confirm this over in verse 45:7, Ezekiel 45:7. And a portion shall be for the prince on one side, and on the other side of the oblation of the holy portion, and the possession of the city before the oblation of the holy portion, and before the possession of the city from the west side westward, and from the east side eastward, and the length shall be over against one of the portions, from the west border until the east border. Okay, back to Ezekiel 48. Moreover, from the possession of the Levites, and from the possession of the city being in the midst of it, which is the princes, between the border of Judea and the border of Benjamin, shall be for the prince. And now we're just going to run through a bunch of verses that talk about this area down here. Now we're just going to talk about what's allocated for these other tribes down here. As for the rest of the tribes from the east side until the west side, Benjamin shall have a portion. And by the border of Benjamin from the east side until the west side, Simeon shall have a portion. By the border of Simeon from the east side until the west side, Issachar a portion. By the border of Issachar from the east side until the west side, Zibeon a portion. And by the border of Zibeon from the east side until the west side, Gad a portion. By the border of Gad at the south side southward, the border shall be given from Tamar unto the waters of Strife and Kadesh, and to the river toward the great sea. This is the land which he shall divide by lot unto the tribes of Israel for inheritance. And these are their portions, saith the Lord God. And these are the goings out of the city of the north side, 4,500 measure. Okay, now we're going to get back to the city. Just to show here, we were talking about the rest of the cities, and they mentioned Kadesh is down here. We'll go back to the other. Not that way. But back to talking about the city. I didn't do a blow up of the city per se. No. That's probably the best picture of the city itself is there. So kind of put a mental picture in your mind on that. Those little blue marks you see are the gates we're going to be talking about. So that's the main thing to look at here. It's going to be the gates to the city. And at the end, I'm going to show you in Revelation when it talks about the New Jerusalem. I realize we were just talking about that this thing is 9 miles by 9 miles. And so it has a lot of similarities to the New Jerusalem when it comes down. But the size is totally different because the size of the New Jerusalem is 1,500 miles. And we talked about that back when we were talking about that. So I don't believe, and particularly in Revelation, but I showed you that video, about a week ago now, of my Revelation study, where I talked about that particular city. And so this city, even though it sounds somewhat similar when it comes to the gates, it isn't the same when it comes to size that's mentioned. So we'll just review that. And these are the goings out of the city. Going out just means the egress places, the places where the gates are. 4,500 measure. And the gates of the city shall be after the names of the tribes of Israel. Three gates northward. Oh, need the verses. Three gates northward. One gate of Reuben. One gate of Judea. One gate of Levi. And the east side, 4,500, three gates, and one gate for Joseph, one gate for Benjamin, one gate for Dan. And the south side, 4,500 measure, and the three gates, one gate for Simeon, one gate for Issachar, and one gate for Zebulun. And the west side, 4,500 with their three gates, one gate for Gad, one gate for Asher, one gate for Naphtali. It was round about 18,000 measure, and the name of the city from that day shall be the Lord is here. I just want to point out some things over in Revelation when it talks about the same thing. And you can see some of the things are the same, but some things are definitely different. And so starting in Revelation 21, verse 10, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east three gates, on the north three gates, on the south three gates, and on the west three gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Now, obviously, in Ezekiel, the apostles weren't even known of yet. So I'm not surprised that Ezekiel wasn't shown this part of the vision. Now, the next two verses in Revelation spell out the differences. And I'll just show them to you. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the walls thereof. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height are all equal. So the furlong, when you multiply it out, comes out to 1,500 miles, including the height. So you can see that the city being described to John is not the same city that's being described here, which is an interesting dilemma. So that's why I don't necessarily follow that this city is during the millennium, but that something drastically changes after the millennium is over, the 1,000 years. And so before this city actually comes down. So I think there will be a Jerusalem there, but it won't be this one that we see coming in Revelation. So back to, so just to finish up, was round about 18,000 measure, and the name of the city from that day shall be the Lord is here. So that's the end of the chapter. Just a few verses to finish off this book. And over in Joel 3:21 talks about it also as a prophecy. For I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed, for the Lord dwelleth in Zion. The Lord is actually going to be dwelling in Zion, Zion being Israel. He'll be there with us. Zechariah also says it in 2:10. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. Also in Revelation 21:3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And in Revelation 22:3, now I believe this is actually at the end of the millennium kingdom, when the new heavens and new earth are. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And so that ends our study on Ezekiel. I hope that that was enjoyable for all. And as I mentioned, tomorrow we're going to start on, pretty much decided to do Esther. I thought it'd be different, do something a little different, something a little bit more in line with some history. It's about the same time frame. It was during, Esther was kind of like during the same time frame that Ezekiel, a different part of the area we'll be talking about. And we'll start on Esther. And see where that takes us and where the Lord sends us. And we'll go from there. And so hope you enjoyed this study. And let's end with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, oh, thank you so much, Lord, for this this time we get to spend in your book, Ezekiel. And Lord, that you can bless us and that you can help us to take it to heart and be thinking about that day, Lord, when we will experience your kingdom with you. And we're looking so much forward to that day, Lord, and we can be with you forever. And, oh, Lord, it's going to be great. And we love you and we praise you and thank you so very much. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I'll talk to you again tomorrow and we'll start taking a look at Ezekiel. Is my picture of the possible look of Jerusalem in this time frame, and I got a verse under here I like. John 14:2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And that day is quickly approaching, I believe, and so that looking forward to the soon return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But it's so important that during this time frame too that we continue to, I like to think that if the rapture comes, that it'll come at a time frame when I'm serving the Lord, and that I'm not, that I'm doing something for Him, and so it would make me ever more joyous when that day comes. And so I'll leave it on that note, and you guys have a great day. Talk to you tomorrow.